Hi, everyone, and welcome to AB Conversations, where we will help you CFP your way out of it, a podcast where you get into the minds of a couple certified financial planners on how we think and feel about everyday financial planning questions and what should really matter most to you. A healthier financial life starts now.
Hey, Ben. Funny seeing you here.
Welcome.
It is AB Conversations. I am your sidekick on this thing, am I not? Should not be funny seeing me here. I think we're co-hosts. I would not identify either one of us as sidekicks.
Well, you can steal the show today. Pressure's on you.
Oh, great. And what a fun show it's going to be. It's not exactly the most upbeat and lively conversation. The topic today is kind of what to do, or the financial next steps after, you know, losing a loved one, or more specifically losing a spouse. And the reason we're doing this topic today is we've seen this more than we would like recently, you know, in our business.
Sure.
Definitely leads to the more emotional side of what we do. So trying to help somebody navigate what is usually a very difficult emotional time, and knowing that the financial stuff that needs to happen doesn't just go away. So that's kind of where we insert ourselves into the process to try to help navigate that.
I think the main takeaway, of course, this is an incredibly sensitive thing. No two situations are alike, but it is to just acknowledge the amount of emotion, anxiety. A lot of people are grief numb during this time period. So it is to say, not only do we hope to support our clients in that, or help people find people that can support them, but to acknowledge that this does not need to be financial triage.
Right.
We talk about this in a way that says there are things that, yes, need to happen now, but there are a lot of things that we can allow time to help with. And I think, other than giving a couple of pieces of general advice on the front end, and maybe I'll let you kind of kickstart that, it is to kind of talk about this and what needs to happen now, what can be soon, but then here's the stuff that will help you through at a much later and hopefully a little bit of a calmer time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in my experience, how people react to that, and maybe you already said this, it runs the gamut from, let's do everything all at once right away. Yep. Like, let's get this done. I want this behind me. To, I'm not in the space for this. I don't want to do anything. Like, I'm going to put this off and deal with the financial aspect, all of them, later. And I think in our experience, neither one of those is probably the ideal. It's probably somewhere in the middle. So yeah, the number one piece of general advice is don't rush.
There,
as you said, there are things that do need to happen administratively on the front end, and that can happen, you know, in the first several weeks. But it is a major life change. There will be ramifications felt later, but don't rush into any big life-changing decisions with, you know, your money, the house, anything like that, that feels that you can't undo it.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the most important piece of advice, because here's the other thing we experience. This is a time where family and friends like really want to be supportive. And, you know, maybe you have somebody that's gone through it before. You might have a lot of people in your ear, and they may mean well. I say all that to assume that they mean well.
Yeah.
But it really is a time where, you know, being more specific in those first 2 weeks, you said what needs to take care of administratively. Yeah, that's organization time. We need to gather some documents. You need to find the will. Hopefully that was done. Statement of accounts. You're getting death certificates. You're putting yourself in a spot where you can kind of take stock of what is going to be part of your new financial situation. But your point, well said, give yourself some time prior to making any major life decisions regarding work, your home, your money.
Well, and I'll say it in our experience, the majority of the times it is older individuals that are coming to us, and statistics do show it's usually the male that passes first. And historically speaking, we've been in a society where, you know, more often than not, the male is kind of responsible for a lot of the finances. And we've seen widows come to us with, I don't know how to do some of this stuff. He handled everything. I don't even know what we own, where it's held, any of that stuff. So part of our role in that process is to simply, you said take stock, but really is kind of come up with that checklist of here's what needs to happen. We can help walk through that process. But I think the most important part of that is to break it down into those more digestible pieces where it doesn't feel as overwhelming, even though I'll say, I think it probably feels overwhelming no matter what, but to be able to hopefully break it down into much smaller pieces that you can just feel like you're making progress rather than all of this stuff needing to happen all at once.
Yeah, it's almost like the micro actions. It's putting one step, two step, third step. It's just little steps forward that you can take. And I think this is true of any financial situation, but especially at a time of high emotions like this, where it does, like you said, feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's just to feel organized so you know what that next step is. And if you have a trusted advisor like us, hopefully, you know, we can dictate this is that micro action that needs to be taken next. And again, the first week or two, it really is just about organization.
Right. Yep. So go ahead.
Well, the last thing I would say is, again, depending on how you feel about things, we would encourage people as they have a bunch of people in their ear to just say, yes, thank you. That may be an interesting idea, or, you know, I'm going to look into that, but I'm not ready to make any big decisions. It's important to kind of advocate for yourself and just let yourself breathe and go at the pace that you feel comfortable going at.
Yeah. So on that note, I'll build off of that. Our industry in general, the financial services world, has historically been predicated on sales and product placement and things like that. So we live in the advice world, right? We don't necessarily have a product to push other than our own service and advice. But if you had something at the bank, or there was life insurance, or there's an annuity company, or there's some sort of other investment company in the picture, they have a vested interest in putting this person into something new. And it may or may not be the best thing for them. So I don't want to say, you know, go in with a skeptical kind of viewpoint, but part of, we call it the ABCs, right? Ask questions, be a little wary, buyers beware, and care is the C, but take care of yourself through this process, not only, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, but the financial side of things too.
So I'm glad you went that direction, because I would put that kind of in the middle camp here of things that you'll have to do soon after, but not immediately after a passing. That's going to be, once you have organization, what things now need to move into your name. Like you said, now I'm maybe claiming a life insurance. I'm moving these financial accounts. This is where you're going to start to interact with other professionals. You're going to have to make a lot of phone calls, and that's why it's okay for that to be soon. Right? Because that's going to be reliving emotionally what you have to share with these institutions that somebody's no longer with us. But that whole middle section is really about getting the financial life in order for you. And you do have to be, like you said, careful about that, or have an advocate for you with you through that process.
Yeah. It's as I said, it's the checklist of things to go through that maybe they're not often overlooked, but it's something as simple as, If they were receiving Social Security, there's going to be a process to make sure that now that, depending on your own benefit, that may be something you have to go through and receive that higher benefit. It's the continuity of ongoing cash flow and expenses. Those things don't stop. I should say the expenses don't stop. But once you notify these other institutions on the passing, that income may stop, whether that's, you know, the Social Security, whether it's pension, maybe you were taking investment income from your savings. Like there are those administrative steps that need to occur to make sure that just the ongoing day-to-day continues as it did, or at least puts you in a position where that's not another problem now to deal with.
Yeah. And I almost, you know, we break it down now, soon, later, and maybe that would be better said, get organized, then mm-hmm. it's literally the logistics. Where is yeah. income now coming from? What expenses are now going out? Everything needs to be in one name now, not in two. It's get that all organized logistically to be happening, those mechanisms mm-hmm. moving again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's that last part where we're going to try to be thoughtful on now, what does this mean? Right. Yeah. What are your now your wishes? Does anything really need to change? And from that standpoint, this is where, again, I say, give yourself some time. It's okay to test drive ideas and advice, right? The most important thing is to not continue to feel vulnerable, but to feel safe and secure in a new situation. And part of that may just be time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen that just over time, those, what started out, and let me take a step back. Depending how things were set up, you know, for the couple, here's how we were approaching things. Here was our plan moving forward. When it is maybe just one individual, that plan may still fit, but it may not. And what we've seen is that sometimes those plans, or here's what I would want to see happen as the surviving spouse, that completely can adapt and change and be a moving target in the future too. So to your point, not making any irrevocable decisions, or at least just giving yourself that space and time to kind of test drive some different things, whether it's, you know, lifestyle or who knows what. Just that ongoing assessment, that does not need to happen in short order. I think that is much longer term. That's bigger picture stuff. And that's certainly where we can, again, play that role of just exploring what's possible, making sure that they are going to be taken care of for the rest of their life. And then if there are changes or adaptations that need to occur, we can help think through those, what's the options or what's possible.
Yeah. I'm thinking housing, travel.
Yeah.
Now I want to relocate closer to family. You know, I think of, you know, God bless Pat, number of times I think about her, but she moved closer to family and always felt like she made that decision too soon, right? Mm-hmm. That she may have wanted to stay in the community that she was in. And she's kind of like poster child for me of, you know, this is what I thought I wanted, but then I wasn't sure. Yeah. So again, it's okay. It's okay to kind of slow down and reassess, you know, who you are now today, maybe very different than the way that you're going to feel 3 months, 6 months, 12 months from now.
Yeah. And in that sense, our planning process is no different, whether it is, you know, a younger couple, or it is someone approaching retirement, or in this situation, someone who lost a spouse. The point in our minds of having the plan is that you do have at least that general roadmap, but knowing that life is going to change, life is going to throw us curveballs, and that you have hopefully somebody like us to help reassess at those inflection points, at those forks in the road, to make sure that the path you go down still fits the underlying values of what's important to you at that point in time.
Yeah, and how to get there. I mean, how many situations have we been in where, let's get into the nuts and bolts. Husband and wife may have felt very differently about risk.
Right.
All the way down to investment styles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
The other situation I think we see that we would just want to present on the front end is really make sure that you are or have taken stock on what you need in your life. Mm-hmm. I think it is a time where we see the potential for somebody to want to be a purse for others, to now be givers as they kind of go through this solo journey. And I would just say, at least on the very front end, you know, before you get into that mode, make sure that you truly are going to be okay for yourself before you start giving things away.
Yes. Yeah.
I hope this was helpful. I mean, it's such a heavy topic, and of course, one that it's going to be very different situation to situation.
Yeah. But yes.
I mean, do you have any final or summary thoughts that you want to share?
No, just other than what we've said already to this point, we're here. We can be a resource. We've, for better or for worse, we've been down this road before with many different clients of ours. So even though it may be, you know, a very emotional time, maybe the first time you're dealing with it, we've gone through it. from our perspective and help navigate the process. So if anybody out there is in that spot or knows somebody who is, we are here to help. Keep us in mind.
Thank you. Well said. Have a great rest of your day, Adam. Appreciate your advice on this very important topic.
All right. Thank you.
See you out there.
Hey everyone, Adam and I really appreciate you tuning in. Please note that the opinions we voiced in the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be most appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, your accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to making any decisions or investing. Thanks for listening.